The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Let's stand together, make room for folks coming in as we turn to Psalm 139. And we're going to look at Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 for our scripture reading. It's been a wonderful month of September already. How many of you like the fall season like I do? I don't know, it's just kind of a beautiful time of year. It was a beautiful day today outside, and we're thankful for that. And I'm glad that we're entering into this season. How many of you have signed up already for loveworksav.com? Let me see where you are. All right, how many of you have not signed? Just as I am. I see your hands. And we'll be having an altar call right at the end of this service, all right? So I want you to get signed up and ready to go. And we're going to have a great time with Love Works. And we had a wonderful day today. Really kind of a similar concept, I thought, Brother Furso, with the businessman's lunch today. And we were able to share the gospel. I had one dear man that came to my office afterwards and got to go through the gospel plan. He did not quite pray to accept Christ as Savior. And he said, can I talk with you about this next Thursday? And I won't mention his name, but I would ask you to pray for him. And these are the kinds of relationships and things that God is doing. And we're seeing people saved through the ministry here every day. But how many of you would like to see dozens saved every day in the month of October? I would, as a result of this. And so let's really pray about that. But you know, one of the things we want to do, if we're going to see the outreach of the ministry going forward, we got to let the inreach of the Holy Spirit be real in our own hearts. And that's what we're going to learn about tonight. So Psalm 139, and we're going to read verses 23 and 24. And these verses are a part of my devotional life most every morning. And these are verses that I read or refer to in my prayer practice. And I think every one of us could put these words somewhere in a little journal and just think it through as we begin our day. And so let's read these two verses together tonight. I want you to read them with me. Psalm 139, we'll read together verses 23 and 24. Ready? Begin. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, tonight we thank you that you are an all-knowing, all-searching, all-loving God. And Father, forgive us for those times when we act as though we can compartmentalize little parts of our heart and we think somehow you're not going to see that. Help us tonight in this Bible study to learn how to open our heart and help us to learn how to live our lives with real transparency and honesty before you. And Father, we pray and ask this in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It is very important in the Christian life that we have an honest evaluation of our heart before an almighty God. And the key is an honest evaluation. I think one of the most dangerous things about being a Christian for a period of time is the fact that we can learn how to act the part, but we're not really having the walk. That can happen at every level of the Christian life, every age group, every vocational group. It's very easy to live the life outwardly and yet inwardly to not really be where we should be spiritually. And in our text tonight, we see David opening up his heart and asking God for an evaluation of his heart. I think about the medical field and the medical profession tonight. And I'm mindful of the fact that there are things that can be happening in my body or your body that are completely unbeknownst to us. There can be situations that are only detected by x-ray or perhaps detected only by a heart monitor. And oftentimes we will go to a doctor and we'll say we have a pain or an ailment and we will allow them to make what is called a diagnosis. And that diagnosis is usually used because of it's made available because of their equipment, it's made available because of their knowledge and expertise. And we always appreciate and we hope for a proper diagnosis. Isn't it amazing though that sometimes we are reluctant to go to our Maker and to say to our Maker, Lord, I want you to look in my heart. And I want you to see only what you can see in my heart. And I want you to reveal to me anything that may be skipping a beat or anything that may have some type of a disease. Show me, Lord, where I need to see the areas for improvement in my life. Now, in these verses, David is explaining the truth to all of us that God knows everything about our heart. He knows us even better than we know ourselves. And he wants to reveal to us those areas that need improvement. And in order to have this accounting or this evaluation from God, it's very important that all of us open up our heart and let God evaluate. It's very important. Now, the Bible says, let judgment begin first at the house of God. That is to say, we've got to be open and honest with the Lord. Now, a lot of times people will see things in our lives before we do. Sometimes they'll not see it at all. But God always sees what's happening in our heart. And I find that when we open our heart before the Lord, sometimes it's those hidden sins that are revealed. It's the pride. It's the jealousy. It's the self-thought. And it is those areas that God knows and only God knows that are revealed when we open our heart to Him. Now, this evening, the Bible tells us in Psalm 32 and verse 1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now, so I want you to realize by way of introduction that when we fear opening our heart, and when we fear that God might see something that we're ashamed of, we oftentimes have a misperception of God. We oftentimes feel that we may be somehow rejected, somehow we lose blessing, somehow we lose favor, somehow we lose friendships in this world. But I want to begin the message by saying tonight, our God is a God of forgiveness. But he cannot forgive that which we're not repentant of. And so he wants to reveal something so that we'll repent it, and so we'll come honest with him, not so that he can judge, not so that we can judge, but so that there can be a restoration to take place. So Psalm 32:1, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. By the way, how many of you are glad tonight that the transgressions of your life since you were saved are under the blood of Jesus Christ? And David was a man after God's own heart. David's sins are clearly covered chapter after chapter in the Word of God. And yet, God never gave up on David. And David never gave up on pursuing God. And how we thank the Lord for that. But oftentimes, because of our guilt, we want to hold things in. We can come to a place where we can't hardly manage life. Guilt destroys our confidence. It destroys our relationships. It can destroy our emotions. And all of the while, there is freedom to those who will say, Lord, I can't handle my own heart anymore. I open my heart to you, and I ask you to reveal to me that which is wrong and make it right and forgive me. And that's what we're going to learn about tonight. So how can we live our Christian life with an open heart? If you're taking notes tonight, number one, I want you to jot this down. Allow God to take inventory. Allow God to take inventory. Now, many of you work in an environment where you take inventory. And we have a small publications ministry here at the church. And once a year for the audit, the auditors want an inventory of how many books we have and so forth. And at the end of school, our teachers inventory their equipment. And that's a common term. And the inventory is just simply a way of measuring. And God says, I want you to let me measure your heart. I want you to let me see your heart. And I want you to not make it a forced issue, but I want you to live in transparency before me. And so David says this to the Lord. He says, God, search my heart. Search my heart, O God, and try me, and know my thoughts. Lamentation 3:40, let us search and try our ways and turn again unto the Lord. Now, as I pray in my devotions in the morning times, and I ask God to help me in various areas of my life with wisdom and grace, and I ask God to fill that I might be filled with his Spirit, but oftentimes during this process of prayer, I'll come to this verse, and it's written down in a little guide. And on the first Sunday of 2014, I'm going to share with our church for the first time my entire devotional pattern for the morning. and I've put together many of the life lessons that God has taught me in my devotions, and I'll be sharing that with our church family, and I'm excited to do that. And one of the principles is from Psalm 139, Lord, search my heart, and it's something that we do every day. Lord, show me what you want to change, allowing God to take the inventory. Now, ask him to reveal any needs that you have. Ask him to reveal any needs that you have. Ask him to explore your heart, to search you. And to search me simply means to investigate, to examine thoroughly. If you had some heart problems and you went to a cardiologist, there are many, many ways that the cardiologist may examine you. They may take a pulse. They may listen to your heart. They may take your body and put little suction cups all over it and give you an EKG report. There's other reports and ways that they can examine you. If you went to a cardiologist with chest pain and all they did was take your temperature and tell you to stick your tongue out and say, aw, and tell you, you know, you're looking pretty good. We'll see you next month. You might say, excuse me. But that was not a very thorough investigation considering the significance of the pain that I'm having. And, you know, when we come to church and we're thinking about other stuff during the message, and when we kind of miss devotions or when we have devotions, we're not really listening to the Holy Spirit, we are certainly not following this pattern of David. We're not saying, Lord, search me. And God can't search us if our attention span is that of a little child. I think of our little grandson, Chandler, and Chandler's he's an amazing little guy. He's busy all the time, and he'll see me, and he'll smile, and he'll want to wrestle for a minute, but that's about all for about a minute, because then he wants to go wrestle with the cat, and then he wants to wrestle with his brother, and he wants to do the next thing. And sometimes we have that real small attention span, but if we're going to say, God, search me, it's going to be a time period where we, in the mornings, where we at church, like tonight, are saying, Lord, here's my heart. Show me what you want me to see. Help me to make it right. I'm not just here to do church. Secondly, ask him not only to search you, but ask him to examine you. The Bible says here in this passage, Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. And then it says, try me. The word try means to test or to prove. To test or to prove. Normally every year our deacons will encourage me to go get a physical exam. And sometimes they'll mention that even in a meeting. Pastor, don't forget to get things checked and so forth. And one of the things that every few years they'll do is they'll put me on a treadmill. Have you ever been on the treadmill? And you get on that treadmill and they'll kind of put some things on your fingers and so forth. And then you start walking on that treadmill. And then that nurse, she thinks it's funny to turn the speed up on the treadmill. And then they put the incline on, and their goal is to get you to basically not have a heart attack, but to stress test you as much as they can, and just to take you right to your limit. You know what they're doing? They're trying you, they're testing you, they're proving you, because they want to see what those numbers say when that heart's pumping up at a higher level. And this is what the word means, to try me. When David says, try me, he's saying, God, prove me. And look into my heart, and Psalm 26 says it this way, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. Examine me, O Lord. And so, this is the attitude of a sincere believer of God. It is one that says, Lord, search me. Lord, examine me. I want to be real with you. I want you to see my heart. I heard about a man who told an evangelist, he said, I really don't know what to confess if I were to come to the invitation time at the end of your message. I just don't know what I might ask the Lord to help me with or confess which sins I might have. And the evangelist said, well, look, he said, if you feel a little nudge from the Lord, just come up to the altar and just guess at something. Just whatever it is that you think you might want to tell the Lord, just guess at it. And later on after the service, the man said, you know, I guessed right the very first time. You know, the fact of the matter is that if we'll just open our hearts to the Lord, He reveals to us areas that need to be dealt with. And He shows us very easily the man that's opening his heart. But if we keep our heart closed with guilt, if we keep our heart closed with pride because we're afraid of what might be found, if we keep our heart closed because of fear of God, in the wrong kind of fear, then He can never make it right. And so David had learned, You're not going to make things better by covering your heart. You're going to see your children and your grandchildren murdered. You're going to see difficulty if you cover. But if David would testify, but if you open your heart, God will bring forgiveness. And so ask him to examine your heart. And then secondly, not only do we ask him to reveal any needs, but we allow God's Spirit to reveal our sins through the Word of God. We allow God's Spirit to reveal our sins through the Word of God. Now, notice what it says here in this passage, Psalm 139 and verse 23. Just breaking this verse apart tonight. It says, search me, that is, search me and know my heart, that is to examine. And then try me, that is to prove. So search means what? It means to what? Examine. And try me means what? Prove me. So test the metal of my faith. But now then, we come to this next word, and it says, search me, O God, and know my heart, try me. And now it says, and know my thoughts. And know my thoughts. Have you ever been with somebody maybe that you cared for and you say something like this, a penny for your thoughts. I'll give you a penny for your thoughts. And God knows your thoughts. And David is saying, Lord, I don't want anything between me and you. I want you to know my heart. I want you to know my thoughts. I don't want to have a hidden compartment where there's anger or malice or things that are displeasing to you. Now, how many of you remember Hebrews 4:12? I believe it's in your notes. And notice what it says. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a what? Discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, sometimes I wish I had more discernment. How many of you are like that? You wish you had more discernment to know what's going to happen. And how many of you wish you could just foretell the future, right? We don't have that much discernment to really always know what's at the root of a problem. But the Bible is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Bible is God's x-ray, and it can discern. And that's why when you have closed your heart to the Lord, and there's covered things, one of the first things that happens is your desire to go to church will go away. Because you know if you go to church, the Word of God, like a two-edged sword, is going to start to show you and penetrate, and it's going to start convicting and showing the needs. But the thing of it is, if we have a tender heart toward the Lord, we know that that's what we want and that's what we need. God knows our inner thoughts, and so we want to understand that God's Word discerns our thoughts and intents. And secondly, God's Word continuously searches our heart for sin. God's Word will continuously search our heart. Now notice what it says there in Psalm 139 and verse number 24. It says, verse 23, know my thoughts, and then colon, and see if there be any wicked way in me. So we're saying, God, search my heart, and keep searching my heart. And that's why you don't need to come to church just once in a while or read your Bible flippantly. That's why we need to hide the Word of God in our heart that we might not sin against Him. That's why we need the revival meeting in January. That's why the missions conference is an important time. And just those times when you can get 2, 3, 4 messages in a row, those are very important times for the child of God. Notice it says, see. And again, look at, give attention to. So kind of take a look at these action words here. Search, know, try, know, see. How many of you get the idea? Wow, David is just saying, I'm an open book, God. Tell me what you see here, right? And then he wants God to just see his heart. Now, Jeremiah 17:9 tells us why. Is that in your notes, Jeremiah 17:9? Why do we need to let God see our heart? Because the heart is what? Deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You see, your heart, my heart, we can deceive ourselves. We can rationalize. We can justify. We can get involved in thought patterns of anger. We can get involved in thought patterns of anger towards a spouse or someone at work. The devil loves to get people angry in the church or angry at their pastor. Why? Because if we can get into a pattern where our heart is deceiving us to think that, you know, church is the problem, Bible study is the problem, this is the problem, all of the sudden, the devil's going to have a victory because a deceitful heart is a broken compass to follow. So the compass should not be your heart. Man is made of mind, emotions, and will. And we also could say body, soul, and spirit. But the thing is, you do not want to follow the emotions. You do not want to follow the seat of your emotions, which is your heart, as the compass of your life. How many of you would admit sometimes your emotions are up, sometimes your emotions are down? Would you admit that today? Most of us would. But God's word is always constant. And so that's why we want to open our heart and say, Lord, show me what I need. Sometimes that involves biblical counseling. And that's a part of the ministry of the pastoral staff of our church. And one of the men on our staff right now is finishing some additional counseling courses to be certified with the Nuthetic Counselors Ministry, a spirit-led counseling ministry, and have that ministry right here at our church. Because we believe that when the Bible's open and sown into a receptive heart, then that life can be changed. And when someone whose heart is kind of, the compass is kind of floating around and not sure where to go, God's word can show us exactly what we need to do. Look at verse 10 of Jeremiah 17. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine what? Heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so the first thing we must do if we want to have an open heart for God is we must allow God to take inventory every day. God, search my heart. Lord, honestly, you and me, show me what I need. Now, I don't know about you. That's a practice that I've had in my life at the Lord's table since I was just a little guy. You know that verse in 1 Corinthians 11? It says, but let a man first examine himself and then take of the cup. How many of you have made that your habit so that before you put that juice to your lips, you make sure there's nothing between you and Jesus? How many of you, that's your habit? It should be your habit, all right? Now, here's the point. You have an altar, and the altar is Jesus. And as a Christian, and I was telling this to this gentleman today that I was witnessing to, we are believer priests. We have an altar. Jesus is the high priest. And we can come directly to him every day. You don't have to wait for the Lord's table to open up your heart and get everything right. You can do that every morning of your life. And that's a great way to live your life every single day. So allow God to take inventory. Now, secondly, I want to say tonight, if you will allow God, college student, to take that inventory, the second step is then to accept God's evaluation. Accept God's evaluation. Now, there's a word that we say here at this church, and we say it regularly, and that's the word amen. Now, just for some of you who are from a Presbyterian background or different background, let's just practice saying that word. Ready? Begin.
Amen.
Very good. That sounded like a Baptist church, all right? And the word amen means what? Anybody know? What's that? You agree? All right. Why don't you say that more then? Right? Amen. There you go. Hey, we got smart guys in the front row. Amen. Amen. All right. How about up on the balcony? Dr. Curtis Hudson, one of my dear friends and mentors. Some of you may have heard him when you were younger, too. Dr. Hudson would be preaching along. He'd be preaching on some good doctrine, maybe the blood atonement or something. And if he didn't think the amens were very good, he'd do this. Like that. And he'd just do that until everybody said amen. And he was just kind of training. I'll try that tonight, see how that works. Yeah, not bad. All right. Now, the word is, I agree. And when we accept God's evaluation, we're saying to God, I agree. Okay? So we want to not only say, God, search my heart, but when God shows us something, we want to say to God, amen. I agree with you, God, because you showed me something that I didn't know. And sometimes, ladies, God can show your husband better than you can. And sometimes, men, God can show your wife better than you can. Doesn't mean you can't communicate and speak about these things, but it's so wonderful when God speaks to the heart of someone in our family. And so, accept God's evaluation. So, how do we do that? Letter A. We first want to confess to God what he has shown to us. Now, Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord. searching all the inward parts of the belly. So our spirit is lit by his awareness or conscience. When God convicts us, then we should say amen to him. We should confess to God, God, I see it now. You've shown this to me. I didn't realize I had such a proud spirit. I didn't realize I had such a wrong attitude. But God, I see it. And so God, I want to say amen. I want to agree with you. Now, you know what I find about Bible-believing Baptists? If I were to get up here tonight and preach against some liberal politician, if I were to get up here tonight, listen, if I started preaching against abortion or the gay rights movement and all of that, a lot of you would be, hey man, come on! If I preached against Obama tonight, some of you would get half tickled. But if I preached about your lack of soul winning, some of you wouldn't say a cockeyed word. If I preached about your bitterness towards your spouse, you wouldn't say anything. Now, I'm just saying, it's easy to agree with the sins of another person. And I know it's hard, maybe if you preach a whole message on pride, to go, amen, that's me, everybody, I understand. Sometimes I know why it's quiet in church, because, but even if it's a quiet amen, even if it's like an amensky, we need to agree with God. We need to confess to the Lord, you're right, Lord, you're right. And I don't care if you've been saved 50 years. If you need to slip down to an altar and bow your knee and say, Lord, you're right. I've been wrong. I told Mrs. Tierney, our church pianist, years ago, and I've said this to her several times. I think I've said it to others too. Sherry, if you're ever playing that altar call music and you need to come forward and get something right with God, I need a pianist that's right with God more than I need a pianist who can play good music. Right? None of us are too busy or too important that we shouldn't be willing to just agree with God and just to confess to the Lord. If we say that we have no sin, John said, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. You know, the hardest people that I have to convince in counseling are the ones whose lives are zinging off in the wrong direction while they tell me how right they are with God. Now, you can tell that to me or to someone else, but you can't fool God. And the sooner you agree with God, the better things get. So confess to God. And then secondly, confess to a godly person. Now, this is not always a mandate that you do this. And I'm not one for something that happened years ago and bringing it back up in someone's face and being real dramatic. I'm not talking about going to someone maybe and dredging up some hurtful thing from the past. But it may be helpful in your life in some cases to confess something to the Lord, and depending upon the nature of it, it may be helpful to find an older brother or sister in Christ and say, you know, the Lord's convicted me about, let's just take for example, anger. And I've agreed with God about it. And I would like for you to pray with me about this. Not like for you to, if you ever see me kind of just losing it, I'd like you to pull me aside and say, remember you asked me to talk to you about this. James 5:16. This would be good practice in the dorms for some of you. This would be good practice in our homes. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so accept God's evaluation. And then notice thirdly, ask God for his forgiveness. First you allow God to take inventory. Search me, God. Know me. Show me. Then you accept God's evaluation. You say, amen, God, you're right, I'm wrong. And then thirdly, you ask God for his forgiveness. Now I want to tell you something. Asking God for forgiveness is not begging. There's a point where someone may beg God in the sense of petitioning him for prayers. But did you know that God is ready to forgive us when we come to him? And there's a case that can be made scripturally. He's already forgiven us, and I understand that. But God wants us to come to Him, not because He lacks forgiveness or because His grace is lacking, but because sin breaks fellowship. And He wants fellowship with us. And that's why 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a faithful God. He is faithful to cleanse us. And so I do not believe that we must beg and beg and beg. I remember years ago in Costa Rica, we had a youth group down there for a missions trip, and we were soul winning around the Catholic Basilica. And I remember seeing men on their knees crawling up the stairs to the church, and their knees were bleeding, and there was blood on the sidewalk, and nearly every step was stained with blood. And I remember asking one of the men, why are you doing this? And it was a type of penance. And it was their way of saying, God, we want you to forgive us, and we're hurting ourselves. In the Philippines sometimes, during the Passion Week, in fact, not sometimes, every year, there are literally men who literally allow others to nail them to a cross, put a crown of thorns upon their head, and literally are beaten and bleeding and carried down the streets because maybe they were immoral or maybe they did something bad and they really wanted God to forgive them. How many of you are glad you don't have to beat yourself and cut yourself to get God's forgiveness? I don't know about you, but I know that God is a God who's ready to forgive when we're ready to repent. And I'm so thankful for that. And the devil wants to convince people that there's not forgiveness in the Lord or in the Lord's house or with the Lord's people, but there is, and we thank Him for it. So don't beg. And then secondly, don't bargain. His forgiveness is based on His grace. His forgiveness is based on His grace. You say, what are we talking about here, Pastor? If you're opening your heart up to the Lord, and you're saying, Lord, search me, and boom, He reveals something, and you're saying, that's why I don't always open my heart, because there it is, there's that prevalent sin, then let me just tell you something. If God reveals that, you can bring it to the throne of grace and find that there's grace to help you in time of need. He forgives based on grace. A man was awakened in the middle of the night by a phone call. On the other end was a frantic, sobbing girl who managed to get out the words, Daddy, I'm pregnant. He was groggy, and he was stunned, but he communicated forgiveness, and he communicated love. The next day, he and his wife wrote their daughter two letters of counsel and love. 3 days later, the man received another phone call. His daughter was shocked to have received the letters because she was not the one who had called. Some other distraught girl had dialed the wrong number. Nonetheless, the letters were not wasted. Their expressions of unconditional love and forgiveness are now a treasured possession. Here are a few of the excerpts from the letter from her father. Though I weep inside, I can't condemn you because I sin too. Your transgressions are no worse than mine. It's just different. It all comes from the same sin package that we inherited through Adam. We're praying for you. We love you more than we can say. And we respect you for being honest with us. Remember, God's love is in even this, and maybe especially in this. This is a day of testing, but hold your ground. God will give the victory. We're looking forward to your being at home. Love, Dad. I've pastored here long enough to see that I've not always responded as graciously as maybe I would have liked, and I've seen a lot of people, good people in our church, not always be as gracious as maybe they could have been in a difficult time. But I want to tell you something. God is the God of all grace. And it doesn't matter where you've been, and it doesn't matter what you've done, and it doesn't matter how far the prodigal goes, He's always ready to welcome the prodigal back. That's why when we ask for forgiveness, God is promising there's always forgiveness for us. Look at Romans 5:20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, what does the rest of it say, please? Say it a little louder. Together, begin. Grace. Where sin abounds, grace abounds even more. No wonder they call it amazing. God's amazing grace. So, we must say, God, search my heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Test it. Prove it. Show me what you want me to see. And then when God shows you, you want to say, amen, I agree. God, I agree with you. You've shown me what I needed to see. And then you want to say, Lord, would you forgive me? I want to be restored with you. And God says, where your sin abounded, my grace is even greater. And then let me just say this finally. We need to accept Christ's forgiveness. We need to accept Christ's forgiveness. A lot of times people think when they have fallen into sin that the church or the pastor, or sometimes they even think God, would not accept them. And that's the lie of the devil, because he wants people to stay outside the fold rather than be restored. But I want to share one of my favorite verses with you from Ephesians 1:6. I think it's in your notes. It says, to the praise of his glory and his grace, wherein he hath made us, and what does it say? Accepted in the beloved. That's your position in Christ. Accepted in the beloved. Yes, sin separates. We do not lose our salvation if we were saved, but sin breaks fellowship. Just as the prodigal son and his father. But when the prodigal came home, he was accepted. And that's the message that this church needs to get out with Love Works. That there is grace in God and acceptance from God. And so, he gives complete forgiveness. Now, remember, first of all have sinned. And when it comes to salvation, we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And thank God that he has forgiven us. And there are those in this community that have never experienced salvation, and they need to come and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And yes, there are some people that are away from God, and their heart deceived them, and they thought nobody loved them, and God would never want them. And we need to sometimes find some of those and say, guess what? God's the God of a second chance. And many of you have experienced God's love in saving you, and God's love in reclaiming you for times when you drifted away. How many of you are thankful that he has an everlasting grace for you? He never gives up. All have sinned, but God forgives us freely. Romans 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For many people, opening their hearts to God's evaluation can seem somewhat intimidating. And I have to tell you something today. Sometimes, and I'll confess one of my little areas of weakness. When I go into the doctor, sometimes I get what do they call it, Dr. Shepherd? White coat disease or something like that? What's that called? The white coat syndrome, I think it is. I'll go in there, and I'll walk in there, and I get kind of nervous when I go into the doctor's office. And I don't know why, I just kind of get a little, my blood pressure is always a little higher in the doctor's office. How many of you are like that too? Anybody? All right, I'm glad I'm not the only one that's a big chicken. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Forget the white coat syndrome, just I'm a big chicken. How many of you, your blood pressure goes up when you go to the dentist? Anybody like that? Now, those of you who aren't raising your hand, you're sick. You have no emotion. Man, I'm telling you what, when that needle's coming down in, and they say, open up, open wide, here comes a needle. Man, I'm telling you, my heart goes like that. And a lot of times I'm laying in that dental chair, I'm going, oh, Lord, don't let this hurt, don't let this hurt. And the number one criteria is not where they go to college, it's not how many successful surgeries they've had, it's can you do it without pain? That's what I want to know, right? And sometimes when I go to the doctor, if they're going to give me a shot or do something, I'm just kind of getting nervous about that. But here's what I want you to know. When you come to the Lord, there's no reason for your blood pressure to go up. There's no reason to be nervous, because he loved you before you were ever born. He knew every problem you'd ever have and every sin you would ever commit, and he still died for you. And so there's no condemnation in Jesus, none. He wants you to come to Him boldly. You don't need to be intimidated by saying, "Lord, search my heart." Because when He does, He's doing it with love and grace and always giving you the diagnosis and always giving you the cure. And the cure is always His wonderful grace. Wonderful grace of Jesus is available for anyone that's open and honest with Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that we can open our hearts to You. I pray right now that that would be the case in this room.